We are thankful to the Almighty God that He has seen fit to allow us to assemble ourselves together today to worship Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is not enough. This will make sense a little later on, but it should make sense practically. It's not enough just to be present today, physically present. You have to be mentally engaged. You have to participate. And when I say participate in worship during this time, this is where you listen, actively listen. So active listening means you don't listen just in order to yield a response. You listen to understand. Amen. You should have actively participated in singing, following the song leader and singing as well. You should have actively participated, saints of God, in giving as we have prospered. You should have actively participated as our hearts go back to the cross of Calvary, remembering and being reminded of the sacrifice that was made, the body that was sacrificed, the blood that was shed for our sins. It's not just, let me get there and sit down and, you know, no. Know what you are doing and how we do it. And so as we pay it, as we sing out, as we give, as we listen to scriptures, worship service in the Lord's church is not about entertainment. Sadly, so many in religion, entertainment is drawing a lot of people. Put on a show and you will get the crowd. Well, I tell you what, in entertainment business, whether you are, you know, some of these top performers, I won't mention any names, but you know who they are. They draw a crowd because they entertain. Lindsay, you have seen firsthand stadiums full because of one person that can just get on that stage, lights come on, and put on a show. I am not here to put on a show. I'm here to preach the word of God. And when preaching becomes entertainment, the brother needs to sit down. Amen, walls and lights. If you've come to be entertained, you are in the right place to be edified. That means built up. You're in the right place to be edified. And yet throughout the scriptures and throughout a lesson, yes, we will make practical application, maybe say something to make you smile or giggle. But the point is not the giggle, not the smile, not the example. It's where it takes you. It should take you to the word of God. And so we have so many. We said it earlier. We'll say it again now. We have so many that are just struggling at this time. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all the people of Haiti. 7.2, and when you think about that Richter scale, the maximum is 10. You talk about a 7.2 on the same fault line as this earthquake that devastated Haiti years ago. Pray for the people of Haiti. I mean, if you just keep watching the news, I mean, from the assassination of the president to now, I mean, there's a lot, there's turmoil. There are families that are struggling, and I watched on the news this morning, we're just showing video, and you know, just like when we have hurricanes down here, there are those who are okay. We talked to Sister Jules yesterday, and we pray for her family. She's got family in Haiti, and many others may have family there as well. Our thoughts and prayers are with the people of Haiti as they go through this tremendous, this challenging time. Thoughts and prayers are with the people of Cuba. Brothers and sisters, when we pray for everybody. We have brothers and sisters in Christ in both countries. We have brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. So let us be mindful of just the necessity of praying for those in need, of those in bereavement. Sister Jules lost her dad, and those who are still just struggling with making this new chapter in their life. We all go through chapters in our lives, and some are going through the chapter of bereavement. Some are going through the chapter of, you know, kids growing up and, you know, and just not moving out and just moving on. You know, Alexi getting ready to move into a college dorm. Lord, have mercy. Pray for me. Amen. See, it's just different. Lindsay, pray for me, brother. Call my name as well. And so, but I'll be on campus when she moves in just to check everybody out. Amen. Pray for me. Today we want to bring a very practical lesson, a lesson that we certainly can understand. But we're going to take it a little deeper, not just a principle. Sowing and reaping, we've heard of it before. You know, in the church, we don't deal with things such as, you know, karma and luck. So y'all just stop all that right now. You know, I don't need a horseshoe hanging up out in my garage. I don't need a rabbit's foot in my pocket. I trust God. I'm not going to look for some astronomy or, you know, what's your sign? Because, you know, Capricorns act a little crazy. It's not about zodiac. It's about the word of God. We can all change. Again, people talk, well, let me just move on. We lock in on so much foolishness as our guide. I don't know if you all wake up and read a horoscope to see what's going to happen to you today. What's going to happen to you is based on God, time, circumstance, and how you act. Amen. What it says is, because a broken clock, write this down, is correct twice a day. Some of y'all may need some time to figure that one out, but you'll get it by 6 p.m. tonight. A broken clock is correct twice a day. I looked at it, oh, it's 6 o'clock. It just happened to be 6. It's the Lord. No, it just happened to be 6. Brothers and sisters, I want y'all to understand something. The Bible says in our lesson text, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Somebody will call me tonight and say, I just got that. That's all right. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, Paul writing to the church of Christ at Galatia, be not deceived, be not tricked, be not fooled. God is not mocked. You will not make a fool of God, no matter how you act, no matter what you do. And there are things we have gotten away with in our lives. Amen. But we will not make a fool of God. Sometimes people look at the battle and not the war. I just seem to be down right now. Everybody seems to be winning over me. Now you just stay the course. Stay the course. I was watching a video recently, athletic. It was a track and field. It was a meet in Michigan. And I guess it was a dual meet between Michigan, Ohio State, and the relay team. They got to the last leg of the relay, Brother Lindsay, and they were losing. They had a four-second, the team in front had a four-second lead. And they handed the baton to the young lady on the last leg, the anchor, as they call it, in track. And not only is she just making up ground. And she got to 200, she was right beside the young lady. They got to 100, she passed her, and she didn't look back. So now it could have easily, somebody got a four-second lead on you, that's pretty much done in track, unless you got a horse that's going to just run. And she never, the way she ran that race is how we should run the race. Because sometimes we look and say, the devil got me. So why do I even need to try? Because we're losing. Who told you we were losing? Who told you the Church of Christ is losing? See, the devil wants you to believe that. The devil wants you to believe that, they seem to be so much happier than I am. And once I obey the gospel, things are different. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. God will not be made a fool of. For whatsoever, here we go, a man soweth, what you plant, that shall he also reap. Let's talk about the principle of sowing and reaping. We got three basic points today. One of the things that, and I'll just hang on to this because it's working for me. I'll just give you three basic points every Sunday. It allows you to write them down. It allows you to just lock them in. But hopefully it makes it practical as well. Teaching, giving, and living. Write them down. Teaching, giving, and living. We're going to deal with the principle of sowing and reaping through the context of teaching, giving, and living. Y'all all right? Teaching, giving, and living. So as we think about teaching, giving, and living, as we go through each of these three categories today, and that's all we're going to do today, be the Lord's will, understand what Paul said. Don't be tricked. Don't allow people to fool you. Because there are crooks. This is a fraud capital of the world. I don't know if y'all knew that, Florida. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the sunshine. I don't know what. People just get over it. So many examples I could use there, but I'm going to leave that alone. When we talk about the principles of teaching, giving, and living, and the principle of sowing and reaping, don't be tricked. Pay attention. Just recently, it was funny. Jordan and I, engineers, were looking at various options for internet for this building. And we called and said, I want somebody to come take a look at it. And he sent my son a contract. Just sign it. We can always cancel it. We just want you to come look at it. You know, the days of, I'm old school, free estimates. Amen. You can't even look at it for free, then you ain't definitely not getting the business. He sent the contract. I read through it. He said, Daddy, he just said we just need to sign it. I said, then I talked to Jordan. I said, look at this. He said, just pay $300 a month. You can cancel anytime. With small penalty. So they're out. I won't mention the vendor. But the bottom line is, people will try to get over on you. He's trying to get a sale. And I just asked you to come take a look at something. Brothers and sisters, we need to recognize today that, not only should we be mindful of deceit in this world, but we are all sowers. We all sow something every day. So none of us are exempt from this, to be clear. We are all sowers. Don't be deceived. So what, but this is the key. What and how we are sowing are critical to our soul salvation. What we sow, but also how we sow it. This is where it gets a little interesting. Let's deal with teaching. Luke chapter 8, we're going to look at select verses. Luke chapter 8, we'll look at verse 5. We'll drop down to verse 11. And we'll take a look at like verse 15, if you will. So Luke chapter 8, verse 5. Stay with me today. The Bible says, a sower went out to sow seed. And I just cut it right there. You recognize that there's different types of reactions when you plant a seed. Now in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower, he went out, he's planting, right? Some fell on good ground, some fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground. Y'all know the parable, right? All right, about five of y'all know it. So read your Bible when you get a chance. So now I'm not going to go through the various. We recognize as you sow, and get this right now, or understand this. When we sow, you will get different reactions. You ever coach a team? Certain players react to different things. You ever talk to people? People react differently to how you say it. In business, we call it situational leadership. If the building is on fire, I'm not saying, ladies and gentlemen, please, get out. That's the appropriate response at the appropriate time. They call it in business, get a free business lesson here. But in business, there's four basic leadership styles: telling, selling, participating, and delegating. There's a time to participate. What are you thinking about? There's a time to delegate. Get this done. There's a time to tell. The building's on fire. There's a time to sell. Let's all sit down and strategize together. But all of those styles, you don't use the same one all the time. And if some people just always want to just tell you what to do and they don't want to listen and allow you to participate, you will have a different reaction to that person. Y'all got that? I had to give it to you in the context of business, but as we apply that spiritually, people respond differently to the gospel. If you tell somebody, good morning, you're going straight to hell, and I hope you visit with us at Miami Garden Church of Christ, I don't think you'll get a favorable response. A sower went out to sow seed. And I want you to understand that based on the context and how you sow, not just what you sow, but how you sow it, you'll get different reactions. But spiritually speaking, the Bible lets us know in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 that the seed is the word of God. The seed that we're talking about in the context of teaching is not tradition, not popular opinion, not, well, everybody else is doing it. The seeds of quote unquote peer pressure. Well, some other churches of Christ are doing this. I don't care what any other congregation is doing. If it's not in context with the word of God, we're not doing it. Amen, saints. Some people try to keep up with the Joneses, even in the Lord's church. Everybody, well, some congregations are, they're just starting to pick it up a little bit. No, sir, no, ma'am. You clap at home. The Bible does not talk about an accompaniment. We sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. So when it comes to teaching, the parable is this. The seed that we're talking about sowing, planting, the seed is the word of God. And you need to understand in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the Bible says on that good ground. See, here's how it works. When the word of God goes out, what is it falling on? It's kind of hard for me to put some seeds on some concrete outside and expect to come back and get some growth, Brother James. It's going to burn up in the heat. It's nothing for it to take root. A seed's not going to take root in concrete. And my grandma would say something, don't y'all have that hard head now. Kids, as you go back to school, don't have a hard head with those teachers. So nobody can tell you anything. And there's something called passive-aggressive behavior. Be careful. Because one thing you can say, well, I didn't openly disrespect her, but yet when she told you to move from point A to point B, you move like a snail. And all the class started laughing. It ain't funny. That's disrespect. Amen? So kids, govern yourselves. But the Bible says, but on that good ground, this is what I want to focus on. Good sowers. On that good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. You see where I'm pointing? On an honest and good heart. We need to be honest with ourselves. I'll just be honest with Gail Nelson, all of you, and in front of all of you. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. I've made mistakes in the past. I've made mistakes presently. I will make mistakes in the future. I'm just talking about me. You all do this with yourself. So when the word of God is not only taught, but when I receive it, I hope and pray that it always lands on good ground so that I can grow. So I'm not sitting there trying to counter it with my tradition, counter it with my own feelings, counter it with intellect. God is not going to be made a fool of.
On the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word. See, many of you, y'all can't help but hear me. Heard the word, but some of y'all are like, nope. I don't care what you say. It is closed off. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. May we always be ready to receive the word of God. Amen. When the Bible talks about the Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. As we think about the word of God today in the context of teaching, I got three sections for you teaching, reaping and sowing. Just to be clear, when we teach the word of God, when the seed, the word of God is planted, it only produces Christians. Now, I don't think you all heard me. Let me make that even plainer. When it comes to when Acts 26 and 28, when the Bible says it, you know, when it says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See, you can hear the word of God. That does not make you a Christian. When the seed, the word of God is planted and it lands on good ground. Because see, the word of God does not produce a Baptist Christian, a Methodist Christian. This is where it starts getting a little more specific. A Lutheran Christian, a Presbyterian Christian, a Catholic Christian. No, sir, no, ma'am. God is not dealing with hyphenated families. Now, you all may do all that stuff because of, for various reasons, legal reasons, all that other stuff. But I tell you what, we take on a new name when we become children of God. And I can't find one Baptist, one Catholic, one Lutheran, one Presbyterian, no AME, none of that in God's word. Let me be plain, because I don't want to cause any problems, but I got to teach you the truth. The seed, the word of God, only produces Christians. There's only one church in the Bible. Saints of God, if you want to, you can say amen. But I don't want to offend anybody. See, you start living based on fear and tradition, then you're going to have some problems with God. You don't go around seeking to pick fights. I'm not seeking to pick a fight, but I got to stand here and preach the word of God. And if the seed, the word of God, when I plant a watermelon seed, you've heard this before, a seed produces after its own kind. Denominational error produces after its own kind. If I plant a watermelon seed, I expect to get a watermelon. Now, I'm from Ohio, so we had apples and pears and all that other stuff, and oranges. Moved down here, I mean, that when I had my first mango, I said, what is this? Haven't been the same. You plant a mango seed, you're going to get a mango. So how can you plant to seed the word of God and get 25,000 different denominations? That doesn't even operate. That doesn't happen in the animal kingdom. Doesn't happen in the plant kingdom. Doesn't happen in the human kingdom. If a lion and a lion get to know one another, y'all all right? You don't have a human. And all this foolishness about evolution. So how does that work when a monkey. Thank you. It's foolish. We were created by God in the reproduction process. In Genesis chapter, give me one scripture, brother. Genesis chapter 1. I got to make sure you go back. I go here every time. We got to go to Genesis chapter 1. I want verses 11 and 12. I want to make sure you all understand this. See, God set up this reproductive process. And the reproductive process is a seed will produce after its own kind. And so you never argue that. You don't plant some collard greens, you come back and there's tomatoes, you say, oh, that's different. You know better than that. So in every aspect of life, Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12, brother, please.
And God said, let the earth bring forth grass.
Let the earth bring forth grass.
The herb yielding seed.
The herb yielding seed.
And the fruit tree yielding fruit.
And the fruit tree yielding fruit.
After his time.
Who said this? God. God said, here's how this reproductive process will work. You haven't worshiped God acceptably. That's why we seek to encourage you. So the seed produces after its own kind. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22, Ricky. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 8. We recognize in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, there's only one gospel. And if any other gospel is preached, we will be damned. We will be condemned. And that gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please understand, saints and visiting friends online and those present, God has but one word. That seed has to be planted. It has to be taught consistently. But people can seek to add or take away. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18. What does the Bible say?
For I testify.
Bible says, for I testify.
Unto every man.
That heareth the words of the prophecy of this book.
If any man shall add unto
these things.
God shall add unto him.
You play with God if you want to. I know what the Bible says, but here's something I want to add to it. I know what the Bible says, but we don't need to do all of that. Just worship God. God is in your heart. It all sounds real good. But all I can say to you in this first section of three, from a teaching standpoint, you cannot believe and obey error. You cannot believe and obey error and be in the truth.
Amen.
I say this with all love in my heart to all those who are present, live, or who will listen to this later on. That's why I keep looking at that camera. For those of you that will listen to this later on, wherever you may be, it may be morning, noon, or night. Please understand, you cannot teach man and obey God. Even though man may dress it all up, make you feel good, let's all just be one people. That sounds great. Well, yes, I want all humanity to be saved. So does God. But you got to come into this God's way. You have to obey the truth. So in teaching, you will reap what you sow. In teaching, the seed is the word of God. Saints of God, may we recognize as we teach the word of God, we got to live by this. We need to abide in it for the rest of our lives. Times will get tough. People will upset you, but we have to hold to God's, as we preached last week, hold to God's unchanging hand. The biggest lie being told, part two of three. Oh, see, this is where I've even heard some saints mention this. I just want stuff. I've been praying for stuff. Y'all better be careful praying for stuff. How about praying for wisdom? So if you get some stuff, you don't lose your mind. Pray for faith so you can be entrusted. What did Jesus say? If you can show me your faithful over a little, then you can handle much more than that. So we come in praying for stuff. Lindsay, I want a small boat. It ain't got to be that big. I want a boat with my name on it. I've been praying to God for that. Well, pray for a job. Pray that you can provide for your household. And there's nothing wrong with, if you work hard, there's nothing wrong with you buying things. I'm not condemning stuff, but stuff, our lives does not consist of things which we possess. That's not what makes us alive. So let's go ahead and deal with this thing. You heard it this morning. Brother Aldridge did an excellent job presiding. But I got to go back to this giving, because in religion, this has people all strung out. The principle of reaping and sowing and giving. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Look what the Bible says. Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There's two things being addressed here. What you do and how you do it. Have you ever given somebody something or you asked somebody for something? They're like, here. Did they give it to you? Yeah, they did. But how they gave it to you. I learned early on in my marriage that if I don't, if Chantel was like, baby, can I get somebody? Oh, baby. No, you can keep it. You can keep it. You don't want to give it to me the right way. You can keep it. I'm a better man. Amen. Amen. I'm a better man. So I tell you what, maybe some of you are the same way. If you don't want to give me that last piece of chicken in love, you can keep it. And now you're sitting there eating that chicken like, oh, Lord. The Bible is dealing, and to keep in mind, Paul is writing to the Church of Christ at Corinth. He says, if you just sow a little, you're going to reap a little. But now watch this now. You sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And see, this is where people preach this false teaching of the principles of the gospel of health and wealth. Just make a donation to my ministry, and God gonna bless you. And there are people thinking, and so I need you to understand something. Yes, God is saying you give what you can, and give it cheerfully. Don't give it grudgingly. But here's the abuse. People think they're gonna get some kind of miracle. If I keep sending money, you know, I'm going to get this miracle. No, miracle has ceased. Miracles have ceased. Amen. And so if I just come to church, I'm not going to be locked in on any of the word. I'm not going to try to change my life. But as long as I give some money, then I know something's coming back to me.
You have not given as the Bible prescribes. Sometimes people literally not come to service and say, but here we go. And I know the brothers get nervous on this kind of stuff, but we got to teach truth. The Church of Christ is not based, we know our revenue, what we do to spread the gospel is based on Christians with the proper attitude. There are some, you ask silently, anonymously, a lot of preachers and a lot of leaders like, as long as people give, we're good. No, sir, no, ma'am. Let me say this as clearly as I can, because God is going to hold me accountable. Brother Aldridge said it. It's your time, your talent, and your treasure. We don't have your heart. All you do is write a check. You're not helping the church. Oh, no, Brother Nelson. We got to mature. You show me somebody whose heart is in it. You show me somebody that's committed to the work of the Lord. And then they understand the necessity. There is a necessity to give. Don't get me wrong. But brothers and sisters, please don't lock in on, well, I want my life to be better, so that's why I give. No, you give because the Bible tells us. You give because you want to show the sincerity of our love. We give not to say, well, this money is now going to trigger something coming back. Guess what? The Bible talks about, do you just lend money to those who give it back to you? That's not the mindset. See, God so loved the world that he gave. He said, all I want you to do is just be my friend. Just show your love through how you live. And so we as people, we need to recognize, as I just said, it's your time, it's your ability, it's your service, it's your prayers, it's your labor. Brothers and sisters, and for those that are visiting friends, see, the work of the Lord's church is about giving our whole selves to the Lord. Not just money. Stewardship is not, people preach on stewardship and they want to focus on money. We're talking about everything you have. I am thankful to God. Growing up, in Toledo, Ohio, being raised by a mama and a grandmama, me and my brother sitting in church, we got a mint, we got a Brox mint and a quarter sitting there. And grandma gave us that look, boom. So brother and sister, I want you to understand something. In Matthew chapter 25, we can't look at all those verses. But let's go to Matthew 25 quickly. Follow me. I'll read select verses. Let me show you how God operates. You see, when we think about sowing, the principle of sowing and reaping, Matthew the 25th chapter. And for time's sake, I'm going to go straight to verse 23. You understand the parable of the talents, 1, 2, and 5. One received one talent, one received two talents, one received five talents. But in Matthew chapter 2, but see, the Lord had to come back and reconcile. For those of you that are in finance, there's a reconciliation process. You got to be audited. You got to check things out. But in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at about verse 23, for time's sake, watch this now. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Some of us lose sight, lose our mind, because we're not comfortable. We're not content with a few things. And we pray, Brother Lindsay, I just want more. Are you faithful over what you have? Are you a good steward of your time? Because last time I checked, you won't get any. You don't get 24 hours. I get 24 hours. How you manage your time. People get paid good money to consult on time management. We get the same amount. Our summer series, Redeeming the Time. You spend it, you can't get it back. Brothers have done a great job in breaking that down through various examples and illustrations. But the Bible says, the Lord came back and said, you did a good job over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Then he which had received the one talent, verse 24, Matthew 25, stay with me. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. See, again, if fear cannot be our motivation for worshiping God. If you say, I'm only here because I don't want to go to hell. I'm only here because I don't want to get fined. The Marshawn Lynch approach to your gospel, your soul salvation, ain't going to work. Some of y'all don't know what I just did, but that's an illustration. It makes athletic sense, but it may not make sense to some of y'all. You can't just be here because you want to avoid punishment. How about being here to praise God, to thank God, to honor God?
And yes, in that process of doing that, we will avoid eternal condemnation. Kids, are you going to school just because your mom and daddy told you to? If you had a choice, would you go? Don't answer out loud. Because you need to learn. You need to grow. You need to be educated. Amen. Robert goes back to school this week. Dave, the following week. I pray these kids have the right attitude when they go to school. So the Bible talks about this man who received one talent. He didn't get the five. He didn't get two. But God gave him something. All of us have something. So how are you going? What are you sowing with what you have? But his response was, you a hard man. You reap where you don't even sow. You pull up where you haven't even planted. Some folks have to talk a real good game but do nothing. That's what's happening. Look at what the response is. The Bible says in verse number 25, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. So there it is over there. I just hid it. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure, what are you giving to the Lord? See, instead of this gospel of health and wealth, what can I get out of it? If that's not the motivation, how am I using what God has given me? Ask yourself that question. Because we're going to reap what we sow. Prove it, preacher. Well, Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 25, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. You know what slothful means, right? Slothful is related to laziness, sluggishness. If you are tired in everything that comes to outside of what you want to do, brothers and sisters, we lack energy in the things we ought to do. Think about that. Where do you spend your energy? Are you helping people? You going to call somebody? You going to do anything to encourage someone? This is the giving we're talking about. Not giving, well, let me just write a check. And, you know, Oral Roberts, all these thieves. They making a movie now about Jim and Tammy Faye? Was it Jim Baker? Thank you. I need somebody to help me. The kids are like, I don't know that. Jim and Tammy Faye, just, you know, mansions upon mansions, just asking people, just give. Because God, you know, God spoke to me today. Anytime they start with that, you might as well just turn off the TV. Amen. I got up here, you know, God spoke to me today. What did he say? Ask people, what did he say? Then they're going to probably take a pause for a minute. And because the Bible tells me he speaks to us through his word. So now God's a respected person. He spoke to you, but he didn't speak to me. So we've got all, God speaks to all of us. So giving, please understand. I want to go ahead and hit this nail one more time before we move on. Giving in the context of your time, your ability, and your talents. The Bible says in verse 26 rather, his Lord said it unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you lazy servant, I gave you something. You just put it in the ground and buried it. And now you got this long speech from me. That won't cut it. You knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and them at my coming I should have received my own with usury or interest. You need to do something with what I gave you, because my expectation is you should have grown. And in verse 27, the Bible says, drop down rather, in verse number 29, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Brothers and sisters, let us be clear. It is truly, Acts 20 and verse 35, more blessed to give than to receive. We should not give with the attitude that I'm getting something back in return. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That is what the Bible teaches us. Yes, we need to provide. We need income. We need to, but use your time, your talent, and your treasure to the cause of Christ and do what's right. And it leads us to our last point, living. Living. See, when you think about teaching, you plant the word of God, you will only get Christians. Giving, you give of your time, talent, and treasure. You sow, you plant that. Sowing is planting. You give of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And then you will reap the benefits spiritually. You'll feel good. There's been times where, and it's not about what we've done, but I'm sure many of us have helped people with a meal, helped people with a ride, helped people with just a word of encouragement, helped people just stop by and give somebody a hug or call them. Amen, saints. How do you feel when you've done that? It makes you feel good. But you know, it's not like your name's going to be on a billboard, but you just use your time for the benefit of somebody else. Paul says to the Philippian church, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, to esteem others, in other words, greater than ourselves. That is the antithesis of the gospel of health and wealth. I give because God's going to bless me back. Oh, Creflo, I'll call their names. Creflo Dollar. All these other liars have people thinking, stadium's full of people. It's just, you're just here to come on, because God's going to bless you. They're like, okay, because people are so desperate and empty, they'll believe anything. I mean no harm. That Creflo may be your cousin, but I just called him a liar because he's lying on TV. I'm just going to tell it straight. See, the time is running. Time is short. Some of those folks woke up in Haiti on Saturday. I think it was about 8 a.m. when that earthquake hit. Brothers and sisters, who would have thought? And some of them lost their lives that same day. Surfside, we saw locally. Some people were sitting in their homes, in the bed, asleep. The last thing you think about is, this building's going to fall on me. This building's going to, and you're done. Were they sinners above us? I let Jesus answer that in Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I don't know how we will die, how I will die, how you will die. But while I am here, let us sow so we can reap life everlasting. Amen. Let's close with this. Some of these scriptures will, for time's sake, you'll have to just write them down. Or I'll have to just give you I'll have to paraphrase for time's sake. How do we sow to the flesh? Here's the final point. You need to sow to the flesh. Do not sow to the flesh, but sow to the spirit. And the Bible lets us know, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, there's a laundry list of things we do and how we act. Because, again, there was an old school phrase or question, how you live. I hope you didn't say large audience, but it sounded like you did. So, you know, people say, like, how you live it. But the Bible says in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, I'm just going to give you the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is just illicit sexual activity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. We talk about a variant. You have what's here and something kind of shoots off of it. That's called a variant. It's variance in finance. We talked about this last week. Brothers and sisters, please understand, God has truth. Anything outside of truth is a variant. God has a plan. Man is born again. Man obeys the gospel. Man reaps life everlasting. Anything outside of that is a variant. We have to repent, get back in line with God. Amen? So how do you sow to the flesh? Basically, it's through sin. We yield to sin. All these things, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, wild parties and such like, of the which I tell you before, verse 21 of Galatians 5, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The same list is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If we yield to anything other than God, we sow to the flesh. But I want to just show you something very quick in the Old Testament. Go to Job 4 and 8. Job 4 and 8. Job chapter 4 and the verses 8. Because see, here's where I don't think we recognize. You know, the Bible talks about the faith of a mustard seed. In the plant kingdom, a mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. That's why Jesus used it. If you got the faith of a mustard seed, Brother Slocum, you can. But now you see how it grows. I need to show you some illustrations on the screen in the future of what that plant looks like with a small seed. But now let me just talk to you all for a minute. Brothers and sisters and visiting friends, some of us plant small seeds of just foolishness. And it could be simple stuff. You got to be careful. All of us have to be careful. What we say, your lack of response, how you respond, Because Job says in Job chapter 4 and verse 8, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. See, what, understand this. When people talk about, you know, karma in this world, you know, what goes around. See, y'all see some of y'all reading those books? That was a test. What the Bible is talking about is for eternity. You may be the most quote-unquote popular. You may lie. You may do all this, you know, cheat, steal, and all that. There is a reckoning coming. That's what the Bible is talking about. You may never get caught in this life, but there's a reckoning coming. It's spiritual. Job says, I've seen they that plow iniquity. So keep in mind, some people are just saying, I don't know, didn't mean, look at the clock. Please understand. Because there's something as simple as a
Y'all hear that? That could be very good, that could be very bad. Rick used a great example in Bible class. Somebody call you,
sister, you know what? I'm just tired of these brothers talking about us from the pulpit.
That ain't good. You didn't say, well, sister, I don't know what you're talking about, but did you go talk to the brother? Great example, Brother Rick. Did you go talk to somebody? Murmuring and complaining. You look in the Bible and see what murmuring and complaining led to. It led to death. And some, not only physically, but spiritually. May we as children of God, when you have an issue with anybody, not just in the church, on the job, anywhere, get in the habit of doing it the godly way. You go and you talk to them. Now recognize, you'll get a whole lot of different responses. I was walking around the building. I had a guest with me. I saw two kids kind of play fighting. I walked in. I opened the door. I said, hold on, excuse me a second. I said, you two, stand up straight. Get away from the ping pong table and quit fighting. And there was staff. And I'm like, where's staff? They were sitting down. I said, I don't want to call you out, but I got to do this right now because this is public. I said, get up. These kids could hurt themselves because you sit here on your phone. Put down your phone and get up. Brother, sister, I want y'all to understand something. See, we don't do stuff like that anymore. Say, grandmama looked at us and we straightened, we tightened up. That made men out of us. We can't be spiritual cowards. If there's foolishness in your family, you need to do it the right way. Sit down and you talk to somebody. Because we reap what we sow. Some people have gotten in the habit of just reaping or just planting seeds of, I'll just put up with it all my whole life. And then you're crying inside. You're torn up inside. You have to address it, brothers and sisters. Amen. I got to press on because I want to go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs the 6th chapter. Turn over there with me. I want you all to see. Because we're planting seeds that will not yield the fruit that God expects of us. Proverbs chapter 6. I got to hasten on now. Proverbs the 6th chapter. Beginning at verse number 12. I may just go ahead and pivot up after this verse. Because there's just so much good stuff here. I wish I had Bible class on Wednesday, but I may have to come back to it. We got to finish our summer series. Listen to what the Bible says. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. So people are just pointing fingers. Yeah, look at them. You just point. It's always somebody else's fault. You're going to teach a lesson on sin by pointing at somebody else. What did Jesus say about that little mote in his eye and the lumber in your eye? Moving on. Forwardness is in his heart. Deceit, in other words. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. He soweth discord. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something. Sowing discord means just that. You are planting seeds of foolishness. So please, use the phone for what it's need good communication. Use text messages for what it should be for. Just encouraging somebody. Amen, saints. Stand by yourself. There we go. Let us be mindful of the opportunity. But it gets better. Look at this. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. So one day it's going to catch up with us. And it may be for eternity. And there's no remedy, the Bible says. Don't plant seeds of foolishness. These six things doth the Lord hate. Now, let me tell you something. When the Bible says the Lord hates this, we may want to pay attention. This is sown to the flesh. Here it is. I'm in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16.
Seven are an abomination unto him. Abomination means detestable. You translate that Hebrew word, it means detestable, vile. God says, get this away from me. Here it is, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Y'all still with me? A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. What can Peter tell on Lindsay? A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Lord have mercy. So if you want to ask the question, reaping and sowing, not just in teaching, not just in giving, but how we live as we close out today, please understand. We need to reap, we need to sow to the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you have the fruit of the Spirit. It's on your screen. In Proverbs chapter 11, turn to Proverbs 11 and verse 18. We're already in the book of Proverbs. That's why I want to go there. In Proverbs chapter 11, and the verse is 18, the Bible says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. That word sure means it is fixed. It ain't changing. Nothing's, no one's going to steal your joy. Don't let anybody steal your joy. Amen, saints. There's a reward that awaits those who live godly in Christ Jesus. If you go back to Psalms 126 division, I got to give you these three. Psalms 126 and verse 5. Because see, here's where people get a little confused. I wonder how many of you have shed some tears. I ain't talking about tears because you just got caught and they got you. I'm not talking about those kind of tears. I'm not talking about tears because you did something and you're now being held accountable. I've shed those tears. I've made mistakes. I felt badly, been held accountable. But we're talking about struggles. When you seek to do right by people, they don't treat you right. When you're doing the best you can faithfully, being a good steward, sowing that. Jesus shall suffer persecution. People will not treat you right. People will mistreat you. People will be jealous of you, envious of you. Just keep on sowing all the right things. And as I close, recognize, I hope you all got that. The fruit of the Spirit, not fruits with an S, the fruit of the Spirit. We put this word of God, the seed, the word of God is planted. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. When the word of God is planted, it will only produce Christians. And as Christians, we need to be meek, temperate, kind, gentle, loving, forgiving, praying for folks, not rendering evil for evil, because your temper will take your soul. I don't know if y'all know any angry people. I tell you what, I mean, I remember growing up as a child and just, you know, I tell people this, but they don't believe, but it's true. Rick will tell you, it's a little shy. As I realized, you know, this shy stuff ain't working for me. I had to switch. And that fuse went from this to this. But I got to be mindful of that. My fuse is not as long as it used to be. But I'm not saying that to say, watch out, no, please pray for me. That's what I'm saying, to be clear. But if I see somebody being messed with, I got to deal with that. Amen, BJ. But how I do it has changed drastically. Thank God. Amen. I remember there was a kid in the neighborhood, Candyman. Rick knows. So we grew up in the hood. His name was Candyman. He'd take your candy. We got tired of Candyman. I don't know if Candyman's still alive, but we put it on him, me and my cousin.
First of all, we weren't like rolling in the dough money. So Candyman took our candy, we had to let him know. Pray for me. That was as a child now. I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but I became a man, I put away childish things. But guess what? Here's the breaking news. Some adults act like children. All right, I want to make sure y'all got that. We close on James 3 and verse 18. We close in James the 3rd chapter and verse 18. We will reap what we sow, brothers and sisters. In how we teach, not just what we teach, but how we teach it. We will reap what we sow in giving. Build up the flesh. Let us seek to grow spiritually. And guess what? When you grow, if you work out and you feel a little bit of pain, guess what? You've heard the phrase, no pain. Yeah, no gain. Same thing applies spiritually. You can't always stay in your comfort zone. I'm uncomfortable talking to people like that. Don't let people know how you feel in love. No pain, no gain. So in James chapter 3 and verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. So brothers and sisters and visiting friends, those that are joining us, we reap what we sow. God is not mocked. That same Galatians 6 lets us know, as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good. Let us do good to everybody, paraphrasing the time, say good to everyone, especially those, good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Are you willing and ready to obey him? Are you willing to sacrifice? When I say sacrifice, just sow to the spirit and not to the flesh. My brother gave an example years ago in a Bible class. It stuck with me. Two dogs, we're not endorsing dog finance, it's only an illustration, but our closing illustration is this. Two dogs are in a fight. Which one wins? And the one you feed the most. Flesh and spirit. You keep feeding the flesh, and then when it's time, when you have a challenge come your way, you ain't gonna sound like a Christian. You keep feeding the flesh, lying, cussing, and just feed the self. And let somebody wrong you, even in the church, you're gonna sound like a non-Christian. That's your level of maturity. It may hurt, but I gotta say it. Let a challenge come your way on the job. Brothers and sisters, this thing is real. You will deal with people. They will not treat you right. And so it is today, as a gospel preacher and as one of the elders here at the Miami Gardens Church of Christ, I pray that we can recognize that when we plant seeds of peace, we will reap righteousness. If you are a child of God, and we know that if you're not a child of God, you certainly can be. God has given us a plan of salvation. He wants us to be saved. You must hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. You must be willing to repent. After you've heard and believed that gospel, you must be willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. Having heard and repent, heard and believe, repented of his sins. Once you make that confession, we will baptize you, immerse you fully in water. Your sins are washed away. You're added to the body of the church of Christ. The seed, the word of God, only produces Christians. And you walk, you live, sowing and reaping in a brand new way of life. And how should we do that? See, when Jesus, we talked about situational leadership in the beginning. Let's close with that. The song our brother Baker has chosen is softly and tenderly. See, Jesus didn't say, because I remember vividly growing up when we were outside beyond when the streetlights came on, we had to come back in the house. Y'all know about that kind of stuff. And so let's say we were, you know, still, we had to score a touchdown to win the game, so we stay out there a little later. And there was a way our mama would call us. And you can always tell by the tone. It wasn't like, hey, oh, y'all come on home. Y'all better get down. We had to get going. Throw the touchdown pass and grab the ball. It wasn't our ball anyway. We had to run on. But how does Jesus call us? Softly and tenderly. We who have sinned,
We are all absolutely guilty. But Jesus doesn't say, you better get in the church. He's not going to make us do it. He said, you have sown seeds of sin, but softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. If you are here today and you want to be saved, the invitation is yours. The lesson is yours. For those of you that are online, please put your requests in the chat so we can address them at the appropriate time. A song has been selected, brothers and sisters. We reap what we sow. If you need to respond, please do so right now as we together stand and as we together sing. Won't you come?